Get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
Chapman snap to Brady. Dancing in the pocket. Throwing to the end zone. For Edelman. Ball's tipped and it lands incomplete with 14 seconds to go. Brady in a seated position. Knocked down after the throw. Will be helped to his feet to walk to the far side and then to head back home in the wake of another loss on the road.
Worst part about it, two gross losses in the month of December as you're closing out a year with two layups left at the end of the year.
98.5 to Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. People saying layups an awful lot.
Yeah, what's a layup anymore? Look at the games that they lost.
Yep.
I mean, the records of the teams that they've beaten aren't good.
Yeah.
So after what we've seen the past 2 weeks, don't all of a sudden just say you're going to just saunter into the playoffs and all of a sudden you're destined to be the two seed because the Steelers are going to end up losing to Philly. I mean, there's a lot that has to happen.
Houston.
Yeah, the Houston's going to lose to Philly. This is one of those situations where nobody knows what the Patriots are right now.
Dan's telling me something. By the way, Buffalo beat Minnesota in Minnesota.
Well, that was the beginning of the season. That was one of the more miraculous like games that
just regardless,
inexplicable.
Weird things happen.
Without a doubt. Buffalo and they've been happening with the Patriots.
Buffalo beat the mighty Lions yesterday. Bob Sosie is brought to you by New England Fat Loss Personal DNA Plate Strategy. When you know your plate, you maintain your weight. This is science, not sales. New England Fat Loss is New England's long-term solution for sustainable weight loss. Mr. Bob Sosie, very uncharacteristic game yesterday. A tremendous lack of discipline. Bad decisions by Tom Brady. Dropped balls. You've been at least following the team for a long time. How long has it been since you've seen all these things come together in one game?
Wow. You know, and you're right. There are no laps for this team. You know, they're especially, you know, the two young quarterbacks they're going to play. Darnold, look, he's impressive to me. They're mobile, and Patriots have difficulty with mobile quarterbacks. And, you know, the Bills are going to play extremely hard next week. That's the one thing that I will say about Buffalo under Sean McDermott. And the Patriots struggled to beat a team with Derek Anderson at quarterback and really an historically inept offense earlier in the season. So they've got a lot to take care of. And they've got to be mindful of their own business. And I think, you know, we said it off air yesterday. Let's forget about scoreboard watching from our booth from now on. If the Patriots don't win, it doesn't matter. And they got to go out next week and play a heck of a lot better. And you're right, Fred. Although, as we said last week, you know, maybe what we're seeing is uncharacteristic compared to seasons past, but entirely characteristic of this particular team.
But all of it.
In loud environments, yeah, in the past.
Right, no, but all of it.
Yeah.
I mean, drop passes, Brady with just a horrendous mistake.
Yeah.
That we would, you'd yell at a college kid for making that mistake.
How about full starts?
And that's two straight weeks.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
First half last week, end of the second half this week. And then even on the final throw, what's really concerning to me, and it goes back to the second pass against Tennessee and the final pass against Pittsburgh. When you watch Tom kind of throwing and bailing and falling off like a pitcher who delivers to the plate and falls off to the first baseline.
Right.
And you know, you look at the mistakes, you're right. You expect them out of young guys. And yet yesterday, maybe the best game from a Patriot was delivered by an undrafted rookie, J.C. Jackson, with his competitiveness against Juju Smith-Schuster. And it was some veterans who were letting them down. I mean, Marcus Cannon, Joe Tooney, those guys who played in some loud environments on the offensive line, critical mistakes, whether it's a false start or a holding up front, the plays by Brady, as you mentioned, the mental decisions, the mental mistakes, but as well as the physical mistakes. Very concerning. I've been trying to think back. You know, the end of 2015 was frustrating on so many different levels. People often compare when the Patriots struggled to 2009, predating my time, obviously, around the team. I've been reluctant to go there just because I didn't know all of the variables. But somebody played a clip last night, I've been shared by Rochi, of Brady and Belichick on the sideline, and Belichick talking about he just couldn't get that 2009 team to play the way it needed to. And Brady says, yeah, you see it in spurts, but we just can't do it consistently. And that's what this team has been like. They do it in spurts almost exclusively at home and can't do it consistently. Yesterday, the Steelers did everything in their power to give the game away.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the Patriots couldn't take it. Very uncharacteristic of the teams we've been accustomed to watching.
Okay, so I've seen the same thing as you, and I think probably everyone in this room is that Brady doesn't want to get hit. And he's bailing out of plays, and like you said, he's falling off when he throws. Is the knee the issue, or is it just his age? I mean, because this is becoming a pattern now.
I don't know, Fred, because this is also a guy who was almost robotic-like in terms of his mechanics. Even when he would throw a screen uncontested, he'd always see the same delivery. And it is concerning. You know, yesterday on that final play, and granted, they may not have been able to complete the pass, but they didn't really have a chance to. And the rush was coming from his right. It was a four-man rush, and the Steelers were able to cause a lot of these mistakes, not by blitzing, which Pittsburgh usually does, but by playing coverage and rushing only four. And, you know, we noted it during the broadcast. Zoe was very outspoken about it, that, you know, with a four-man rush, inexcusable to get beat the way that Cannon did a couple of times on the offensive line on the right tackle side. And, you know, I know people take issue with the way the officials are calling games, and Mike Pereira and Troy Aikman discussed it a couple of Thursdays ago that they have been told to clamp down on holding calls, no pun intended. And yet at the same time, I really didn't have any issue with the hold on Trent Brown or a couple of those other key mistakes. And the false starts are self-evident. I mean, they're there for all to see.
All right, so when you look at the decisions that Tom Brady's made, it seems like this year more than any, he's had guys that are wide open that he just hasn't seen or has refused to throw to them. I know James White near the end, there was a couple plays there during that final series that James White was wide open. You know, almost every game there is a screw up by Tom Brady where there was a guy like Chris Hogan or somebody who happened to find themselves wide open. Am I wrong, or is there a lot more of that this year than there have been in years past?
I think it's a reflection of just the way this year has gone from the start. You know, this team is, I think when you get in certain situations, he's going to look to his go-to guys. And it could be, you know, Denver in the AFC Championship game, and sometimes they connect when he throws one out there for Gronk to go up and get. It could be Pittsburgh in week 15 of 2018. And I think, you know, the circumstances that lead to that, and you're right, James White was wide open, at least to check it down and give yourself a chance to convert then on fourth down. Make it a little more manageable than being forced to, you know, to heave one to the end zone from that far out. And I can't put a finger on it. I thought last week they had at least taken some steps forward offensively for the first 25 minutes of that game. And I thought maybe this team was starting to develop some form of offensive identity. But, you know, yesterday it was clear that they didn't have an identity, whether it was the approach to start the game or then, you know, the failure to execute, whether it's drops by guys that are normally reliable or, you know, the ability of the Steelers to take Josh Gordon and Rob Gronkowski out of the game entirely for most of it. So, and in Gordon's case, just for all of it, and for Gronk's case, until the final series. So, you know, it's quite concerning, obviously, on so many different levels, and there's not a whole lot of time to correct it. And you know, I think only the flaws of the other teams that are in contention in the AFC, you know, still give this team a chance to get where it wants to go. But, you know, the chances are becoming, you know, slimmer by the day, by the mistake.
Bob, this team is not good on the road. This is as bad a road team as I've seen in the last decade. The road wins are in Buffalo, at MetLife over the Jets, and then that win in Chicago. And as I'm sure you remember, the Bears were 1 yard away from forcing overtime in that game, and then who knows what happens. Why is this happening?
John, you know, you talk about a lot of different things when it comes to being good on the road, but it all boils down to, I think, you know, more than anything, you know, an attitude, mental toughness. And, you know, Bill Belichick has three tenets of a tough football team. And one is, you know, being able to run. One is being able to stop the run. The other, being able to cover a kick. That's where your toughness shows itself. And Matthew Slater talked about that earlier this year. Last 2 weeks, they haven't stopped the run, and they got gashed. And even though the defense played well overall yesterday, still, you give up 140 yards, and you're doing it against a rookie back for a team that has not been able to run the ball at all a week after they got gashed by the Miami Dolphins. And then there are the mental mistakes that we're talking about. You know, it's the National Football League. You go on the road, it's supposed to be difficult, especially against a team that's a division leader like Pittsburgh and in contention itself for a playoff berth. And you just cannot afford to make the kind of mistakes they have. And when you talk about false starts, however loud the crowd is, this is a team that works on it constantly going back to the spring. And as I said during the broadcast yesterday, if they get into the playoffs and have to travel, if you have to go to Kansas City, well, Arrowhead's going to be even louder than Pittsburgh was yesterday. And I don't want to say that, you know, I hate when we talk on the outside about teams lacking toughness or being soft, but I think there are definitely examples in all of these games we're talking about, even in the wins where, you know, there have been lapses that, you know, 2 years ago you didn't see from the Patriots. Last year you didn't see as frequently, but this year they've been all too common.
By the way, I'm being told by Mike Lockhart that Samuels was a tight end in college. So.
He played a lot of different places. Yeah, he played all over the place. He was kind of like an all-purpose guy for NC State.
Yeah, but not exactly the kind of rookie you think is going to put up 142 on you.
No. You know, and you know, you look at the Patriots on the interior of the defensive line. You got Malcolm Brown as a first-round pick, and I know that you know he's playing more snaps because they inactivated Danny Shelton for back-to-back weeks. But they got to get more out of that interior, and I think that is a defining characteristic. I know it's a passing league, but 2 years ago, they were a good run defense. Last year, not so good, and certainly of late, they haven't been good at all.
All right. Well, Bob Soucy, greener pastures ahead, and we will talk to you most likely in the new year.
Looking forward to it, guys. Have wonderful holidays, and appreciate your time as always.
All right. Thank you, sir. We do appreciate it. I don't know if you can tell Soucy Merry Christmas. I don't know what his whole religious situation is.
You can wear that button that I've seen some people wear that say, just say Christmas!
I have no problem with saying Christmas. Well, and I don't think many Jewish people would become enraged if you said Merry Christmas.
I do find that sentiment to be funny, though, that you'd get angry if somebody doesn't say Christmas.
Yeah.
Like, you would be offended if someone says happy holidays to you. I'd be like, okay, cool, yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah, well, you know, and it's always such a big part of a conversation. It's something that you say to be like your best friend. Happy holidays is something you say while you're leaving, something that you barely know the person. All right. What do you want to do?
Let's dance.
All right, so when we come back, we're going to boogie. Rich is becoming a Jersey. He's becoming Ronnie.
It's GTL, baby.
I kind of like this.
He's becoming Pauly D. He knows how badly I wanted to meet Pauly D, and he's become Pauly D.
Just to make you happy, Fred.
He's got club life. If you don't know, the gang went out to a club after our show dinner. I do not feel comfortable being very intoxicated in front of a group of people in this culture that we live in now, so I decided to make my way home at an earlier time, but yep. Nonetheless, it was the Rich Show, and he got a guy with a heart problem blacked out drunk the whole night.
We had a weird person try to infiltrate the group, and
you got a blinky drink.
Well, we got the blinky drinks, but we also had a guy who doesn't blink in our face, who I'd never met before, which was strange.
Well, if he's around here, I'm sure you made yourself a friend. All right, so we'll be right back.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
I'm crazy.
Wake up with Toucher and Rich.
Oh, boy, that's dumb.
Just tell your smart speaker to play 98.5 Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Troy, go ahead.
How you guys doing? So, you know, I had to get on Bird because I can't believe he missed this golden opportunity to get you guys baked. I mean, you guys were going to be partying. You were drinking. This was the perfect opportunity. And, you know, furthermore, Bird needs to be ashamed of himself for not getting you guys baked at least once a week now, you know?
is Bird, did you have any on you? Do you normally, how often do you get baked?
Me?
No, I'm talking to Bird. Like, how many times? Once or twice a week? Okay. I don't know if I would have trusted what Bird had, to be quite honest. Why?
Why?
Because I don't know where he got it from. I wouldn't want my first time to be from Bird, put it that way.
All right. Huh. Well,
Is this the week, by the way? Wait a minute. You have an appointment, right?
I do.
When is it?
I do. This week.
It's like Thursday?
Yeah. It's Thursday or Wednesday. I forget which day. But I do have an appointment.
Okay. Rich, I have a family member who grows it.
Once again, I don't trust the weed that you're going to be drinking by.
I see his operations as good as clean.
Okay, I understand.
Well, the worst thing that's going to happen is it's not going to work.
Or it's got like cat turds on it or something.
Well, I have. I can't. I really can't consume edibles anymore. The next day is a nightmare because I don't sleep right. bad news, yet I keep going to the
That was the best, though, Fred, is that like when we were on Friday night, before we walked into this club, I was just like, I guarantee you Bird knows somebody who works here. I guarantee it. And it was like within 20 seconds, Bird! And then another guy, the bouncer, knew Bird. Then his friend, there were literally three people downstairs, two of them knew Bird.
Go up in the elevator,
and
Bird!
And as soon as we get upstairs, Bird! Like the bartender knows Bird.
Yep, bouncer, a promoter, and the bartender.
Yeah. So you knew three people within the first 5 minutes that we were at this club.
Yes.
And then after that, I don't know who knew you or who you knew, but I mean, Bird is the most connected man in the city.
Is it all Curry college graduates?
No, the promoter was graduated my sister's from Everett, yeah. And the bartender went to school my sister, and bouncer I met him at Fenway Park, yeah, Curry connection.
Bird just knows everyone, and everyone knows Bird. We did that at Sullivan's Tap before they closed.
My
rest
sister.
In peace. That's right, my sister, whose friend goes to weed. So I went to Sullivan's Tap and we filmed it. Remember, Nick? I took the camera phone out and I was like, "We're gonna walk in here and I want to time how long it is till somebody recognizes Bird." What were we at? Like 35 seconds or something? And someone knew Bird immediately and then picked him up and they started like dancing and they broke a glass.
Bird, is it like a hydroponic garden? Like, where does he have it?
I don't know the specifics. It's indoors. He doesn't use normal water. He uses like electrolyte water or something.
It's crazy. Gatorade.
Yeah.
Electrolyte water?
No, it's fluorescent lighting, correct?
Yes.
And then it's grown out of water.
Yes.
All right, that's hydroponic.
Okay.
Hydro. Take no shorts in, take no losses. But that's right, you have your big appointment coming up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So over the break sometime was probably when I'm going to do it.
Oh, boy.
I'm kind of lame. I've even made my own playlist for the first time.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I'm the coolest guy on the block.
What songs that's are right. those?
Just like real cool laid-back ones, man. Ones that aren't going to freak me out.
Well.
A little Grateful Dead?
No. A little. I got a little Jayhawks. Got a little Jim James.
I think you're going to be very disappointed.
My Morning Jacket.
I think you're going to be very disappointed. On
Fred, is he overthinking this a little?
Okay. Of course I'm overthinking it.
Do you think he doesn't think he's overthinking it?
Of course I'm overthinking it.
In every way, shape, or form. This is unprecedented, the amount of time that's going into this.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not taking DMT. I mean, I think
that... I don't even know what that is.
It's like this hallucinogen that's like exceptionally powerful.
Okay.
And apparently you're tripping for like 10 minutes, but it feels like 5 days.
Oh, really? That sounds like a nightmare.
Yep. But it's weird what your brain, because it's weird what your brain is capable of, like that you live in this one reality, but if you take something
it just
like DMT, it completely switches your reality, but it's the same brain.
What is the deal that we only use like 7% of our brain?
Right.
And that activates part of it?
Well, it activates chemicals. I mean, it's still your brain. It activates chemicals that puts you in this perception of a different reality. So it's all weird. All I know is I'll find it very unpleasant.
Yeah, you continue to go back to the well.
No, I gave it one more go, and then I said, okay.
So you're done with edibles forever?
I mean, no. I mean, there could be a situation, but I will... done for a long time.
Have you seen this weed place that's opened in Vegas? Because it's just recreational marijuana, just got legalized in Nevada. And there is this, they call it the world's biggest pot shop. It is a megaplex. It looks like a gigantic nightclub. And I think it holds something like 4,000 to 5,000 people can fit in this place. And it has like trees, like these neon palm trees that move around. Yeah, it sounds insane.
Now, is it like a cafe or is it just to buy?
No, it's just to buy.
Oh, well, that's what I want to be in, is a room with 5,000 people buying anything.
They make it like it's an amusement park. Like there's all these lines you go through and stuff like that.
That sounds great.
It's like, oh my God.
They're opening up a dispensary in Newtonville, one that's already allows medical. Now they're turning that into a legalized weed place. So if you're on the... wrong side of Newton. That's where you go.
Yeah. They're all starting to, like, slowly but surely get their licenses. Mm-hmm. And right now, Salem's the closest. That just opened. And they did it right. They're like, we don't want any kind of, like, the traffic situation that we had over at Leicester. Is it Leicester? Is that where it is? Okay. Yeah. They said, so what we're going to do is we're going to take appointments, and apparently it's been working fairly smoothly. So we shall see.
Well, you know, Rich, just, you know, create the atmosphere, man.
Dude, the playlist is ready to go, man.
Wildly disappointed.
Playlist. And then you got the room in the apartment.
Then become infinitely disappointed in that it's not having the effect, nearly the effect that you assumed.
I've got side two of Pink Floyd's Animals album.
Listen, you know, put on some Aqua Teen Hunger for us.
Sure.
And get the whole thing rolling.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay, so this is for you, Fred. I know that you told us you had 11 jobs. Is that right, before radio?
Off the top of my head, I had 11 jobs before radio, all of which I was fired from.
Okay, so there was a dude who worked at Walmart and did not like his job and decided, if I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out this way. Turned on his camera phone, filmed himself, picked on the little phone that accesses the speaker in the store and did this.
Attention all shoppers, associates, and management. I would like to say to all of you today that nobody should work here, ever. Our managers will make promises and never keep them. And not only that, they will preach to us about how they care about their employees. But about a month ago, my boss, assistant manager Cora, called me a waste of time and management did nothing to help. Management will also try and save money every step of the way, including cutting benefits of a part-time or a full-time associate down to part-time, even though he worked 40-plus hours a week. I've been a loyal employee here for over a year and a half, and I'm sick of all the bullshit, bogus write-ups, and my job. Management, this job, and Walmart.
All right.
God bless them. Okay. I'm just impressed that they had all these benefits. I mean, I didn't know when you go to Walmart that you get all the benefits.
It's kind of an ad for working there, isn't it?
It is. I thought it was just an hourly job. I didn't know that you got a bunch of benefits.
Kind of backfired on you, jackass.
Yeah. I used to think Walmart was just one of these things. They pay you hourly and then you're on your way unless you're in management. But it seems like they have a fairly decent benefits program. I mean, he's been lied to. I've been lied to. Can you imagine that such working at the size of a Walmart? The only fun thing would be to work at the gun counter. You could just check people out.
Just make a skeezy eye at them?
Yeah, they just, outside of Knoxville, they have just the bullets like laying out there. It's weird.
Oh, really? Because I've been to like those mega gun stores before.
No, this is just a Walmart, but it's huge. It's like, it's intimidating to go into. Why did my Siri just go off? This phone is taping me.
They all are, Fred. And like the best thing is that now I see these things for Facebook that like you know, you talk into the TV screen and it's watching. So let's just, it's already stealing our privacy. Why not invite it right into our home with a camera?
Yeah, I don't know why people are really on Facebook anymore except to complain about the government.
Oh, here's another new thing with Facebook. So I was walking on the sidewalk walking my dog and I happened to pass by this guy who just was interesting because he had like a tattoo like kind of on the side of his neck and it went up kind of near his ear. And I remember, I was like, oh, that's an interesting tattoo. And as I walked by and kept going, I checked my Facebook about 10 minutes later and it said people you might want to friend or whatever it's called, suggested friends. That dude was on there. That dude was on my suggested friends.
Well, I think that's
it tracked where I was.
That's confirmation.
And it tracked where that guy was.
Well,
and it suggested that that guy be my friend.
I think, honestly, the next thing you should do is just get rid of your smartphone. I mean, now you can't, it's not enough to just cover up the camera, Rich. They're tracking you.
Dude, they are tracking us.
They're tracking. So what are you going to do about this?
I'm going to continue to use my phone, as I always have.
Okay.
And give them that. And I'm going to complain every time they do something like that.
Doesn't happen to me.
Dude, that's
new. Doesn't happen to me either.
That's new. And I don't know if anyone else has had that before. And if he didn't have that tattoo, I wouldn't have noticed. But now I want to look down at like the friends that they suggest list and see if these are random people that maybe I happen to be at the same restaurant next to or be at a place that, I don't know, at the park walking my dog.
Shared glow sticks with on Friday.
Yeah, well, listen, that's a tight, close-knit crew.
I know you love the party. As long as it's a hot mama seat, I got no problem with
that. Has that ever happened with anybody else?
All right, we've done this a lot.
No. That one's weird. Like, that is brand new.
All right, I've had none of this happen to me in any way, shape, or form. So
I'm right there with you, Fred.
Rich is obviously very important to the government.
I guess they're watching my every move.
They're watching his every move. All right, we will come back with the stack. What will we talk about, Rich?
Oh, this is the best. We have a story about the Super Bowl coming up that Fred is going to love. It is Schadenfreude.
Ah, lovely. Here are the headlines.
Watch Toucher and Rich on Twitch. Follow the Sports Hub on twitch.tv for live shows and reruns. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. The stack is brought to you by Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare.
So every Super Bowl, doesn't it seem that the act that they announce ends up having some sort of surprise guest act crash the show and say, hey, we're going to do this big thing together? I know with Coldplay, it was like 18 different people. They brought out Beyonce and Bruno Mars. And then you had the Red Hot Chili Peppers, which I think Bruno Mars showed up at that one,
they
too.
They played the Super Bowl?
The Chili Peppers?
Yeah.
They were the premier act, and then they had Bruno Mars join them. I know that wasn't too long ago. It was like 3 years, I think.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, the Chili Peppers did. Yep, they did Give It Away, and Bruno Mars was on stage with them as well. And then you had, you know, like all the other ones you've heard in the past. Well, this year it seems like there's a certain band that's having a hard time wanting to do anything with them. The Five, Fred.
Yeah, you don't want to get blown off stage by the Five.
Maroon 5. Yeah. Everyone's saying, nope. We'll pass.
You get up on stage with the Five and you do it at your own peril. Like, you're going to sit out there, you're going to moves like Jagger. The guy's going to just be like Adam Lambert or whatever the hell his name is. He'll be out there boogieing the dynamite.
Lambert, that's the Queen guy.
All right. Well, yeah. Listen, he's got. Yeah, you don't get out there with the Five.
And according to sources at Page Six, they're saying that they're having a hard time finding acts to join them. And the band reportedly reached out to over a half dozen acts to join them for their mid-game performance. Only thus far, nobody's actually said that they want to do it. As a matter of fact, apparently the quote that one insider said was, nobody wants to be associated with it.
But yeah, they asked Joe Satriani, and he was like, please. He's like, I can't gun with the Five. See, the problem with Maroon 5 is that they're such a cohesive unit
mm-hmm.
that if you interrupt that in any way, you're going to stick out like a sore thumb.
And by the way, there's like a ton of people who are going to be in town for the Super Bowl because they've already announced a bunch of concerts that are going to be before and after, like during the week leading up to it. Like Aerosmith's going to be there. You've got Lil Jon, Ludacris. I forget there was other couple of big bands that are going to be there as well. Oh, Bruno Mars.
Lil Jon.
Yeah, well, it's Atlanta. So they're bringing Lil Jon out.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like how they brought out the Revolution in Minneapolis. You know, Lil Jon is going to be there. And on top of that, yeah, there is like a bunch of other big bands. Cardi B. I know people love the Cardi B. She's going to be there with Bruno Mars, which, by the way, Bruno Mars, just let him do every halftime show. He was excellent. I don't care.
He's, why not?
Throw him in there. But apparently people are turning it down also because of the stance that the NFL made on the whole anthem thing. I thought we were past that. I thought that that's kind of over with now.
Yeah, but whenever you bring in Maroon 5, it kind of ignites, you know, their polarizing political
There's controversy
views.
Anywhere the Five goes.
Yeah, I mean, not only are they a tremendous all-time band, I mean, their lyrics speak for themselves. They go out and stand. Can you imagine if you're sitting there like you're Paul McCartney and you're like, is this even a bass? Like, how do I follow this?
Do you remember when they tried to sell this to rock radio? And I remember just them playing that Harder to Breathe song going, dude, this is NSYNC.
No, yeah, it sounded like a Justin Timberlake song.
Yeah, like this is an NSYNC song that you're playing me. And you think that should be on the same station as Soundgarden? Cool, man.
So they won't, they can't get anyone, have they said anyone they've asked?
Yeah, I mean,
Have they asked Alice Cooper?
So Rihanna was the first one who came out and said that she wouldn't do anything having to do with the halftime show. Because I guess they asked Rihanna before even Maroon 5. And she said no because of the whole Colin Kaepernick situation. And ever since then, all these artists seem to think that they are going to be lumped in with sellouts or people who aren't making a stand.
You know what's interesting is that our society has made it for that there's the bad outweighs the good in anything. Like, no one is going to want to host the Oscars. Why would I want to host the Oscars? I gain nothing from it. Nothing. All that can come out of it is, A, it sucks, because that's just the way it is, mm-hmm. or B, they dig up some garbage for me from 10 years ago. So Do I want to play the Super Bowl halftime show? First of all, like, in all seriousness, like, what, I got to stand up there with Maroon 5? And second of all, what advantage is of it to me?
Well, you sell more records.
I sell more records, but
people go to your tours.
But it's also, I mean, that just shows you how screwed up things are. Because it does. It dramatically helps all of that. But if you're a big enough star, I don't need that on. I don't need any of this crap. So congratulations, everyone. You've made it so that it's not even worth doing something on a mass level. You're not allowing talented people. Listen, Maroon 5, they handled their own situations. Sunday morning, rain is falling.
Gerwin Scalabrini called in and was like so fired up that he had gone to the Maroon 5 concert.
That's right. He was very happy. He went alone, I think.
I mean, Maroon 5.
I remember right.
Maroon 5 played the 1968 Democratic National Convention, where there was all those riots.
Is that why they're rioting? Because everyone's just so excited
about
the music.
They used to be called MC5.
Oh, okay, and now it's the Maroon 5.
Yeah,
they don't cover Ramblin' Rose anymore. They just...
No, do you know, as a matter of fact, that Chuck D, original member of Maroon 5...
MC5, not a good band, by the way.
MC5, one great song.
Which one?
Kick Out the Jams.
Kick Out the Jams is... Okay. It's okay.
Live at the 68th National Democratic Convention is a fantastic song.
The box office this weekend, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse wins the weekend. Excellent movie. Great movie. Not even a good kids movie, just an all-out great movie. $35 million. The Mule, where Clint Eastwood gets to be old and angry again. $17.2 million. Then it goes The Grinch, Ralph Breaks the Internet, and that Mortal Engines, which we all knew was going to fail, failed horribly. That movie's on track to lose over $100 million. It only made $7.5 in its opening weekend. You know Bohemian Rhapsody? The Queen biopic is now in the top 10 highest-grossing films of the year.
Well, because now there's a network that just keeps playing these things that are not bad. They're like docudramas on Freddie Mercury. And so now I've watched, there's like three of them, and I've seen them all.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, the dude had an interesting life, and the band, obviously.
Yes.
You know, it's worth a movie. And I still want to see it. I have not seen it yet. I heard it's very good.
A lot of music.
Yeah. Well, I don't mind that.
Queen. I can take it in very small doses.
Well, some Queen's just funny. Like, it's like good music. It's just like... Yeah. Like Bicycle?
Yeah, I don't get that at all. Fat Bottom Girls?
Well, Fat Bottom Girls actually is a good song.
Yeah, but they say in Bicycle, Fat Bottom Girls will be riding today.
They also say, and I don't like Star Wars.
Yeah.
Jaws ain't my scene, man. He doesn't like, what, Jaws isn't his scene? And no, he doesn't like Star Wars?
No, he likes not going to the dentist.
Yes, he does. He had very big teeth. And there is something called the Gronkcast. That would be a podcast that both Chris and Glenn Gronkowski do, the brothers of Rob Gronkowski.
Finally, someone's doing a podcast.
And in this week's edition, they interviewed Goon, who was the bodyguard Mr. Rob Gronkowski.
How did they get him?
Why don't they just print money?
Well, I mean, you know, you have the bodyguard of Rob Gronkowski, you might have a good story or two. And here he is talking about something that a woman did when he went over to Gronk's house.
One of the craziest things I ever seen a fan do. Well, first, I could start with this one. One of those house parties. We'll go back to the house parties. I had a girl sneak upstairs in Rob's room and had no idea what she was doing. And I noticed that she was holding something. And I look over and I'm like, what are you doing? And she looks at me and she's like, innocent face. I'm not doing anything. I'm not doing anything. I'm like, what do you got in your hand? She was actually stealing Rob's dirty underwear.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
That was a priceless moment.
No, I've heard that story before. I have not heard that one either.
Yeah.
What was she going to do with it?
I don't know, Jeff. I don't know. I couldn't even tell you.
Hey, stupid! What's he gonna do with it? Play with it?
Pink Eye Paul Stanley from Kiss.
Oh, yeah! Hello, Mr. Gronkowski!
What are you doing here?
I'm gonna skedaddle with a pair of your tatty-whities!
So Goon apparently thought you were a woman.
I said, Goon... Well, I had my makeup on.
Okay. I can see that. So what were you doing?
I said, go get away!
Okay. Pink Eye Paul Stanley, why are you at Rob Gronkowski's house?
Oh, just hanging out waiting for some stuff to get thrown in the hamper.
Okay, you're hiding in the hamper there.
Yeah, just smelling things.
just huffing away.
Yeah, I got to the house and I said, do you have a bathroom upstairs I can use? Paul's got a pee-pee. And then when I was up there, I
searched through all the hampers.
Really? Well, I mean, you weren't able to leave with anything, were you?
Well, Elon Musk and I are working on something to save the environment.
What would that be?
It runs on used jocks.
Does it have a name?
It's called the Slingshot.
Okay. What are you slinging?
What's hell? Testicles now helps you with your car travel.
Okay. That's good. All right, well, so you need the natural fossil fuel to keep it going.
And that's only used ones. And Elon and I fought on this. Okay. Elon said any fabric would do. And I said, Elon, that's where you're wrong. It's got to be dirty underwear.
Okay, all right. Understood. All right.
No, not the female kind.
Just the men's. Just men's.
Yeah. You really like my limousine. You like the way the wheels roll. You're stupid because you're impressed by wheels rolling.
All right. We'll be back. We'll find out what Zolak and Bertrand have together.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Mr. Zolak.
Good morning.
Getting in late last night.
How we doing?
I got to see you on Friday night.
I did, briefly.
Yep. We were probably 15, 20 minutes at the same place.
Yeah.
Ships passing in the night.
Did half of your crew get roofied or something?
Half of them?
Yeah, like Nick blacked out. I guess Bird blacked out.
Yeah.
Fred doesn't remember dropping chips and picking them up.
I don't think Bird blacked out. Well,
he's always blacked out.
I wonder if I exaggerated that story to Dan. I did go into the room where they were playing poker. I'm not positive I dropped chips. I don't know.
So you ended up on the floor on your hands and knees.
I don't know about that.
That's a hell of a party, Fred.
Nah, I was drunk. But I was not going to go to the Christmas party that drunk.
No, but it was a great job our company did. Thanks to Beasley. We don't really get invited to Christmas parties, as you guys know.
Yeah.
No, or you can only come yourself. Mm-hmm. It's the old ones. And I think we only had two.
And then they were like, hey, there's a casserole in the conference room.
Before you got there, they were all right. Like, it was like, they were at the Palm, I think, the first year we were there, which was, that was all right.
Good.
I mean, spent a lot of money. That was good. But this one was the first real company Christmas party at like event type thing.
Yeah, it was really cool.
They
do a great job with it. They had all the clients too down in Tennessee. But yeah, thanks to Beasley, that was awesome. Good Christmas party.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed, it was a Christmas party.
That's right. That's what the invitation said.
It said, "Hey, it's a Christmas party." All right. So you were there.
Oh, I was there.
Very upset. You sounded during the calls we played today.
Frustrating. Frustrating. Yeah, you sit there and you think, okay, this is the point where it's going to flip for them, or this is the series. And there was that one point. I'm looking at Bob. It's like they couldn't get out of their own damn way. Five straight punts. And I think they didn't – they had to punt on the sixth one, I guess. So there was like six straight series where they had punts. That's like taking a quarter and a half off on offense. And I thought the defense played well.
Well enough to win.
Yeah.
If you can hold the Steelers to 17, you should win.
You got your ass kicked in a run game, but – you know, four catches for the two little guys, Smith-Schuster, whatever the hell his name is. And I thought Gilmore did a good job on Antonio Brown. You know, he wasn't on him when he was productive. But other than that, I thought he shut him down.
Yep. Well, I know that you sounded wildly frustrated. And you have for weeks now. Even when the team wins, you've been like, let's just get out of here.
Yeah,
look back.
Last week, it's more devastating. And that one sticks with you more because if they would have beat Miami – you know, yesterday, okay, you were in a dogfight in Pittsburgh, physical team, tough environment to play in. Mm-hmm. But as bad as you played and the amount of mistakes you made, the 14 penalties that were accepted, you still have the ball in your hands and you're down inside the red area with a chance to push that sucker to overtime. And you didn't do it. That's what's frustrating.
Right.
And you really didn't play your game and you were still there hanging in the end with them. And Pittsburgh tried to give you that game.
Oh, on several occasions they
did. That seems to be a habit of theirs. Was Hardy at the Christmas party?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, indeed. Hardy was there.
I saw Hardy there.
He was there for a while.
He sure was.
When we were there afterwards.
I saw you there, Fred.
No, I'm just kidding. I know.
Oh, so you were there at the beginning all the way through when we got there?
No. I saw Fred and Stephanie walking out when I was walking in.
Okay.
He was getting in the elevator.
just to prove to you I still knew what
that
was
place
going
is
on.
Funky. You had to go up an elevator to get to the club. Yeah. That was pretty cool.
It was nice.
I liked it. Dude, I had a blast.
It was a good time.
Yeah, it was fun. We all had fun.
That's the type of room like you walk into in Vegas and you turn around and walk out and say, oh, I don't belong here. Everyone in here is 24 and beautiful. I'm going to go back to my room and watch TV.
See, but I was with Bird and he was high-fiving all the people who worked there. And I'm
Rich
like,
got a table. Rich just said, I'm getting a table. Like, I belong. This is where I belong.
Yeah. I'll just be over here at the bank of video poker machines. You kids have fun.
Close it. I was looking for Zolak. I thought it would have been
I was there.
I know.
I was definitely there.
Hopefully
no cell phone video, so we had a good time.
I heard you were rocking the mic.
I was trying to rock the mic. Nobody else wanted the mic. I had to take the mic.
Missed that part.
All right, everyone have a great day. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.